Begin the current daf Masechta Sanhedrin daf Pei. Begin in the bottom line of daf Ayin Tesh Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had the opening halacha, the previous Mishnah on Amud Beis, spoke about a Ritzeh Shnesar Bachem. We're talking about those who get the chiv of Hariga, of beheaded, which one of those categories is a Ritzeh, a murderer. So the Mishnah was speaking about the parameters of the halacha, said that if a murderer gets mixed up with other people, so the Tanna Kamma says they're all going to be exempt. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you put them all into this type of a cage, and you give them barley till their stomach bursts, and then they pass away. What's this halacha of getting mixed up with other people? If we mean with other people that are not guilty, obviously you're not going to kill that whole group of people because a murderer got mixed in with them. And moreover, then it wouldn't make sense to be the same that the whole group goes into this cage until they die. So the Gemara had two approaches. Shmuel said, it's talking about a murderer that his verdict was not handed down yet, who got mixed into a whole group of murderers who their verdict was already passed out. Now, the Rabban hold that you cannot have the Gemara din, the verdict, unless it's directly in front of the person that you know to be the one that's the murderer. So therefore, they're all exempt, because one of those people, although we know he's going to be guilty, but they never handed down the verdict, and you can't find him guilty until he's standing in front of you. They don't know who he is because he's mixed with all these murderers. So they're all exempt. Yehuda says you can't say they're exempt because ultimately they're all murderers. So therefore you put them into this cage until they all pass away. That was Shmuel's interpretation. Shlakish said that no, regarding if it's a person that's a murderer who the verdict was not handed down and he got mixed with a group of murderers, says the Shlakish, no one would disagree that he's going to be exempt. Because as Rashi says, since ultimately there's one that did not have a Gemara Din, so by a person, the halachas v'tziluei, do we do all the most to save the person? So you're not going to prosecute him, and therefore they're all going to go scot-free. But the halacha, the Mishnah told about an ox that the Gemara Din was not handed down yet, who got mixed with other oxen that did already have the Gemara Din. The Rabban hold what's known as Kimisa Sabailam Kach Mises Asher, which is, as a pasuk teaches us, the Begambal of Yumas, that the ox has the same halacha as its master. So, just like its master cannot have a Gemara Din unless it's directly in front of the one that we know is the murderer, so to the ox, and therefore they're all going to be exempt. Mr. Yehuda says, no, an ox is not in that area exactly like the owner, and therefore you're going to put all the oxen into the cage until they all die. That was the two different interpretations. That's why Gemara continues and asks Amar Rava. He asks, as you get tin top of payment olive, and he's asking both on Rish Lakish's interpretation and Shmuel's interpretation. He says, Ihachi, if that's the case, that when the Mishnah speaks about Halacha Ritzeh Shnesar Bacherim, that a murderer got mixed in with others, these others that they're both explaining are for others that are murderers, whether the oxen were murderers or the people were murderers, and they were actually even found guilty already. And who is this Ritzeh that gets mixed in with them? The corner to both of them is talking about that we know that he's a murderer, just didn't have a Gemara Din yet, but just got mixed in with other murderers, and we don't know who he specifically is. On that asks Rava, if that's the case, Haini Diktani Allah, then however, this that we learned on this halacha of a Mishnah in the Braisa, that spoke about this halacha of a Ritzeh Shnesar Bacherim, which the Chacham said that Kulam Peturim, they're all going to be examined. On that added on the Braisa, Amr B'Yesi, says, Afila Abba Chalafta Beinayim. Even if my father Chalafta is amongst that group, still they're all going to be exempt. As Rashi explains, the question of the Gemara is, what is Rabbi saying, Afilo? Even Abba Chalafta, why would that be a Chiddush? We're talking about that they're all murderers. So let's say he's saying, he's insinuating his father's a murderer. But what would it be saying that even if my father is there, what? What's even if your father's there, that they're all going to be exempt? Why should your father be any worse? What is the Halacha saying, according to Rabbi Yaisi, if the interpretation is like Shmuel and Rish Lakish? So Elamur Rava, rather Rava gives a third interpretation. He says, Hachikama, this is what the Mishnah is saying. We're actually talking about a case where the Bezdin, the court, didn't recognize the murderer ever. What does that mean? What's the case? How are you prosecuting someone you don't know who he is? We're talking about a specific case of Shnaim Shayo Imden. What does this mean, Ritzeh, that got mixed in with others? It's not that they knew who he was, then he got mixed in, as we've been learning up until now. He was mixed in from the beginning. What does it mean a murderer was mixed and we didn't know who he was? Because there were two people who were standing. And an arrow shot out from amongst those two people and it killed someone else. Now we don't know who shot the arrow. So you have a Ritzeach who's mixed in with other people. Not that we knew when he got mixed in. From the beginning we never knew. That's what the Chacham were saying, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, the Chnei Baturin. Both those people are going to be exempt. Because you don't know who it is. You can't execute him. He might be the one that's innocent. On that is what V'om Reb Yezir, Yezir was saying in the Braisa, adding on the Chiddush, Afila Abba Chalafta Beinayin, even if my father Chalafta was from those two people, where everybody knows that he's a pious person, and he for sure would not have shot out an arrow and killed a person, Still, in spite of that, Rabbi Yisu is adding on to the Chiddush of the Tanna Kamma, we're not going to hold the other person liable because of that assumption that the other one, Abba Chalafta, for sure would not have done such a thing. And the truth is, that halacha, the Chacham, even Rabbi Huda agrees. Even he would agree that the person would be exempted. We wouldn't put him into a cage, those two people, until they die. Now, Rabbi Huda, who said, that we do put them in the cage until they die, was not going on this halacha. Rather, the Tanna Kamma continues, and there's actually words missing from our Mishnah, and this is the way it's supposed to say. Vishor shenigmar dinoi, and an ox, now we're moving on to an ox, that already had the verdict handed down. Shenisarev bishvarm acher ma'alya, they got mixed in with other non-guilty oxen. Now, obviously, all those oxen are going to be forbidden to have benefit from them, because there is a forbidden thing over here that's not bottle. It's a whole ox. It's going to be forbidden. One of those oxen is Isur Hana, which is an ox that has to be stoned. One cannot have a benefit from it. So you can't have from any of them. So now there's actually no loss for the other owners. There's a whole bunch of people had their whole herd of these oxen. And these are private people's oxen. Now we're going to stone them all. Even if they would stone it, the best, all of them, there wouldn't be a loss to the owners, because anyways, the owners can't have benefit. They can't sell it. They can't eat it. They can't do anything with it. So on that is what the Chacham say. So they're for cycling nice on. So they actually go out and they stone every one of those oxen, at least to fulfill the mitzvah skilo in the one that has to be stoned. We don't know. It got mixed into a group of 50 of them. Doesn't make a difference. You stone them all, so the one that needs it would get stoned. On that is what the Behudaim, he disagreed. He says, no, Kainz and Eis and Lekipa, they just put all those oxen into a cage, and they don't have to stone them, not to make the courts go through that effort. Rather, they put them into this room, and they die from starvation. That's how, that was what he was talking about when he says, Kainz and Eis and Lekipa. And says, Gemara Batanya, and so too we learned in the Braisa, like this Rav's interpretation. The Braisa says, Parish, at first it brings a different halacha, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain once it brings in this Braisa, and the second half is regarding what Rav had said. First, Allah Chalabai says, Parish Hemisa Va'achkech Yodav, a cow killed another, and then it gave birth. So says the Braisa, Imachalei Nigmar Dina Yalada, if it gave birth before the verdict was handed down, so Vlodamutr, so then the child, the fetus, the embryo that's born, is going to be permitted, which Gemara later on is going to explain this Allah. Now, Imisha Nigma Dina Yalada, however, if it only gave birth after the verdict was already handed down, meaning this ox has to be stoned because it killed the person, and before they got a chance to stone it, it gave birth, then Vlad Asr, then the child is going to be forbidden, as we'll see later on, because of the halacha concept known as Ubi Yerech Imoy, which is that the fetus is considered like a thigh, like part, an extension of the mother, and just like when they handed down the verdict, the moment they hand down the verdict, this cow becomes forbidden Bahano, becomes something that has to be stoned, and whatever's part of it is included, and the fetus is an appendage to the mother, and therefore the child is also going to be forbidden. Now continues the Braisa in this Arav Ba'acherim, Ba'acherim Ba'acherim, this is the halacha that we're talking about. If let's say this cow that has to be stoned gets mixed into other cows, and then those cows get mixed into other cows. Now we don't know which one this was from the first, and then when it went to another one, maybe it did go or not. Either way, says the Tanna Kamma, Kainz and Eis and Lekipa, you go ahead and you put them all into a cage, because you don't know. And that was the opinion of Rabbi Huda. He says, which is actually the opinion of our Tanna Kamma. So we have these two opinions. Tanna Kamma over here is Rabbi Huda. And Rabbi Elazar Shimon is our Tanna Kamma, who says, no, you're bringing them to the courts and you stone them. So that's exactly like how Rabbi had interpreted this halacha of the Mishnah, which was, what does it mean, this Arav Ba'acherim, is when it's coming out from two people, you don't know who it is. And on that, no one disagrees. This halacha of Rabbi Huda is actually, there's words missing from our Tanna Kamma. It's actually talking about different halacha of a shor that is chayiv to be stoned, that gets mixed in with other oxen. It's regarding that halacha that we say that anyways the other oxen are forbidden b'ano, but do we have to go ahead and stone them or not? Rabbi Huda says, no, you could just put them into a cage, into a room. And the Tanna Kamma was saying that, yes, you have to stone them because one of them has to be stoned, and then we have to go through the effort of stoning every one of those oxen. Now, once we introduce this Braisa, Amamar, the Gemara now quotes that and explains it. Tanda the Braisa had said, opening up, Imachalei Nigmar Dina Yalada. If it gave birth before the verdict was handed down, so then Vlad the Mutter, so then the child, the fetus that's born, is going to be permanent. That doesn't have to be stoned. That's not forbidden by Noah. Now, says the Gemara, that sounds like, V'ava gav dechinokha havas mi'abra. Even though that when it gored, it was pregnant,
because there's a certain type, there's a gestation period. A cow doesn't is pregnant for a while. So we're saying that if it gave birth before the Gemar Din, okay, so then if it's after, as we'll see later on, so then when the verdict was handed down, the embryo was part of the mother, so that becomes forbidden manna. If it gives birth before the verdict, okay, so then it's not part of that verdict. It's already out of the stomach by the time the court says guilty. So then it's going to be mutter, even though it was part of the mother, when the mother gored and killed that person, which is making it liable for the death penalty. On that, as a good one, but Vamar Rabba said, Vlad Hanagachas Aser, regarding the fetus, the child, that's part of the mother that gored, it's forbidden to be brought as a carbon. Why? He explains, because he who Vlad Nakre. It's not only the mother that gored, the child is part of the mother that gored. Now, an ox that gores is forbidden to be brought as a carbon. But moreover, it must be talking about specifically that if it gored and only one witness saw, or the owners admit that it this cow with the fetus had gored, which only then is it forbidden for a carbon and not for a regular person. Because for a regular person, if it would be us, it would be us for Hana totally. Now, but one thing that we see from the statement of Rava is that if there would be two witnesses, then it would be forbidden even for a regular person. And you would have to say that actually the verdict would be handed down on both of them, because even if it would be born beforehand, it doesn't make a difference. It was the criminal too. It killed. It was part of the mother when it killed. So duvlad hanervas aser, regarding a cow that was sodomized, the child that was inside is also forbidden because he uvlad nirvu. It's not just the cow that was sodomized, the fetus is part of the mother, and that was also sodomized. Now, one cannot say that the reason of the Tanakhama, the Braisa, that said that the child is permitted, again, which is contradicting Rabbah, who says the child is usser, is to say because it wasn't there at the time of the verdict, because if it didn't come to the court at all, then why would we have to say anything about the child, even the mother too? If there was no verdict, it was not going to be forbidden. Obviously, if the Tana, the Brais, is telling us is mutter, the child, is telling us because you don't have to bring it. So that's a refutation of Rabba, who said that if the child was part of the mother when it gored, it is Aser. From the Tana, the Brais, it seems like even was part of the ox when it gored, but if it gave birth before and then it gets out before the verdict, then it's going to be mutter. So that seems to contradict Rabba. So Amos says to Gemara, amend the Brais and say that imachale nigmar dina, if before the verdict, not only was it that it gave birth before the verdict, but Ibra v'yalda, it actually became pregnant and gave birth. So in other words, between the time of the goring and the Gemar Din, which sometimes judicial proceedings take time, there was no child, not at the time of the goring, and not at the time of the verdict. And therefore, it doesn't contradict Rava, because it wasn't there at the time of the goring, and neither was it there at the time of the verdict, so it wasn't formed from anything that's forbidden, because at the time that it was pregnant and when it was conceived and when it gave birth, the mother was permitted. So therefore, Vladimuta, that's the halacha of the Brais, was saying that the child's going to be permitted. But imish and nigmar dina, but if the verdict was already handed down and ibra v'yolda, then it became pregnant and gave birth, where that means to say its conception was from something that's forbidden, because this cow is a asr bahana, then Vlada Aser, then the child's going to be forbidden to have Anah from, even though it wasn't even there at the time of the Goring, because we're saying it has no relativity to Rabbah's Halacha, it wasn't there at the time of the Goring, and even if it wasn't there at the time of the Gemar Din, so the verdict wasn't handed down on the fetus, it actually was only conceived after the Gemar Din, either way, still the child's going to be forbidden, because it's coming from an Isser Bahana, it's conceived from a mother that one cannot have benefit from. Now, according to this version, the Gemara asks, well, Hanich Elamand Amma, this works well according to the one who says, which this is a machlekes in Masechtas Tmur, Taflam and Alfam and Aleph, that if you say Zevezeh Garim Asr, if let's say something is coming from two sources, which is actually what happens when there's animals that are mating, which creates a child, there's two different parents. So if you say that something comes from one forbidden source but one permitted source, either way, it's still going to be forbidden because one of the elements is Asr. So then we can understand why here this cow, this fetus, is going to be Asr Bahana, because it's coming from at least the mother that's Asr Bahana. But as we continue, Tamid Beis, Elamando Mezeb is a Gerim Mutter, but according to the one that says that there is this cause and this cause, one of them is prohibited, one is permitted, and actually the thing is permitted, Michael Amen, what are you going to say? Here when it's formed after the Gemara Din of the mother, it's not only the mother that's causing the child to come out, it's also coming from the seed of the father. So there's Heter and Isser that's causing the child. According to that opinion, Haigen explained this halacha, this the emendation of the Brisa, to say that that's where the Brisa says forbidden, that even there it should not be forbidden. So Elam Ravina, rather, Ravina says, aim of the way you should amend the Brisa, that's not difficult on Rava, is to say, Ima Chaloi Nigmar Dina, as we said before. If the before the verdict was Ibra V'yalda, so it was conceived and born between the Goring and the Gemara Din, so then like we said before, which is what we answered, that it shouldn't be contradiction, but Rava is Vlad Mutter, the child is permitted. But the way he amends the second part, V'ima Chaloi Nigmar Dina Ibra, now if it conceived before the Gemara Din, which is between the Goring and the Gemara Din, and then it gave birth only after the Gemara Din, that's where the Brisa is saying, and we mentioned this before, that Vlad Asa, the child's going to be forbidden, because even though it wasn't there at the time of the Negicha, which is why Rabbi had said that then a fetus is going to be forbidden, but since it was there at the time of the Gemara Din, at the time of the verdict, the fetus was in the mother's womb, it becomes forbidden with the verdict of the mother. Why? It wasn't part of the Goring. And that reason is because uber yerech imahu, the fetus is the thigh of the mother, it's part of the mother, and whatever is part of the mother at the time of the Gemara Din, it's forbidden, and that's why the fetus becomes forbidden. But again, it doesn't contradict Rabbi's halacha. Yes, if it was there at the time of the Goring, then the child would be forbidden. Or, like the Brisa is saying, if the fetus is there at the time of the Gemara Din, it's also going to be forbidden because of uber yerech imahu. Now, if it's conceived after the Gemara Din, that's a machlekes tali, and if you say Zeb is a guy mutter or aser, if you say aser, then it's going to be forbidden. If you say mutter, then it's going to be permitted. Now, the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kol chiv amisis, any of people that are liable for a death penalty, if they get mixed in with other death row inmates, which are liable for a different death penalty, so the Mishnah said you go according to the more lenient one, because you have to kill them all, but you can't give someone more severe death penalty than what he's deserving of. So you give them all the more lighter sentence. Says the Gemara, Shmami, no, what we can infer from the halacha of the Mishnah, from the fact that it says that you judge them all by the more lenient death penalty, is that Mustru L'Davo Chama, when someone is warned, which one of the halachas of executing someone, he has to be warned beforehand regarding that if he does this act, he's not only violating an Isser in the Torah, but he's also going to get a death penalty. If you warn him regarding a more severe death penalty, have a Mustru Davar Kal. He's automatically then warned, including that, in a more lighter death penalty. And the reason for that is because the lighter death penalty is really included in the more severe death penalty. Because if you wouldn't say that it's considered like you're warned for the more lighter death penalty, then this person who is liable for the more severe, how could you give him the lighter death penalty? He was not warned in that death penalty. So actually, he should be totally exempt. Rather, from here is where you learn that it must be that he's warned for the lighter one, and therefore you could give them all the lighter death penalty. And that says Gemara, no Rai. Amar Biyirmi says from here you can't learn it because Hacham Ayskin, you could explain the halacha of our Mishnah is Kikun Shehistru Beistam, is where when they warned these people that death row inmates when they were committing the crime, they were all warned unspecified. They just said you're going to get the death penalty. And that is why the lighter death penalty and the severe death penalty are all included in that hasra. Because of the high Tana who our Mishnah is going, you could say according to that specific Tana that says that you don't have to mention in your warning the specific death penalty that is going to be liable for. The Tana like Linda Brisa, it's actually Machlekes. The Shar Chiv Misa Shebet Torah, says the Brisa, and all the other death penalties of the Torah, meaning except for what it's talking about over there of Mases, the one who is trying to incite people to do idol worship, who actually he does not need a warning to be executed, because the Torah says, Leisachim V'Leisachas Levi, don't have mercy in him, don't try to cover up for him, he's one guy, you have to be right with him to try to get and execute him. But regarding all of the death penalties in the Torah, Eim Misa Naisan, then there you can't execute him, Ella, unless you have the following criterion. You have to have be'eda, you have to have an assembly, which we explained in the beginning of the Masechta, an assembly which is 10 of finding him guilty, an assembly of finding him not guilty, which is already 20, then you add on another 3, which is the Sanhedrin Ketan of 23. And ve'edim, you also have to have 2 witnesses, which, as Rashi points out, this that we're saying regarding Sharchi v'Mises needs these elements is not really precise, because Mises really also needs 2 witnesses and an assembly which is to be tried in the Sanhedrin Ketan of 23. This that it says Vishar is actually regarding the next element of Vahasra, All other death penalties, however, need a warning in contrast to a maces. And also, Va'ad says, this Tanakama, she'idi'uhu shu'u chayv mises bezin. And until you notify that, at least he's going to be liable for the death penalty. Which is like that opinion that Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, that Amishta could be like. You don't have to say which one, you just have to say that you're liable for a death penalty. In contrast, Rabbi Huda, he says, ad she'idi'uhu be'ezim misu nerik. He says, it's not considered a hasra, until he's notified exactly which death penalty he's going to get. Now the Gemara explains, Tanakama Yolef Mimikashish. Tanakama says you don't have to tell him exactly which death penalty. We learn that from the biblical account of the Mikashish Eitzim, where the ones who found him doing Chil Shabbos in the Midbar, they didn't warn him regarding which death penalty he was going to get. They just said, you're going to get killed. And the reason why we know that is because they didn't know. That's actually the whole incident where they had to put him and keep him and until they hear from Hashem which death penalty he should get. Obviously, they just warned him he's going to get death. So you see, that's enough. In contrast, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, Mekashish Hayraz Shahisa. The Mekashish was a one-time incident of a Psak Halacha. In other words, it was based on the divine message of that time that he should be guilty, but you cannot learn that from that incident for future generations. And to the contrary, since we learn that the whole Halacha of Asra, says Rashi, on Daf Memalav Menalav, from the word Yumas Hameis, which is that a person has to permit himself and open himself up and say, yes, I know I'm going to be killed, and he's allowing that, it sounds like for that one that he should be notified, which is why Yehuda says, it's precisely the one that he's going to get, he has to open himself up to, which is the one he's going to get, which, and therefore he says that you have to tell him exactly which one, and not like the way Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying that our Mishnah would be going like the other town, who says, no, you could just tell him, like by the Mekashish, that he's going to get Chiyuv Misa, and not precisely which one, and therefore it wouldn't prove that if you're Musal Deva Chamer, that included is Musal Deva Akal. Now the Mishnah spoke about machlokes in the Mishnah regarding when the two more severe death penalties get mixed together and the two lighter ones, because that's actually machlokes Reb Shimon HaChacham, which one is more severe? Is it Sreifo or is it Skilo? And is it Chenek or is it Herig? Now, but the Mishnah, the way it says it is, it says Haniskolim Minisrafen. If the one who should be stoned gets mixed into the ones who should be burnt, so again, that was the machlokes, which one does he get? Because you give him the lighter one, but it's machlokes, which one's the lighter one? But relating to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Masna le Rav Cheskel le Rami Berei. Rav Cheskel taught the halacha of our Mishnah to his son Rami, actually the opposite of how it says it in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah again says, Haniskalim bin Nisrafen. Now, the same case, but the opposite way, he says, Haniskalim bin Nisrafen. He quoted the halacha of our Mishnah. If, let's say, someone who's supposed to get the Misa of Sreifa gets mixed into people that's supposed to get Skila, which sounds like that the ones who are supposed to get skila are the majority, and we're saying that getting mixed into them, into that majority, is the minority of the nisrafin, of the ones who should be burnt. On that, he quoted the halacha of our Mishnah, the Rebbe Shimon Aimer, he says, yedayin b'skila, so they all get judged by getting stoned, because shasreifa chamur, because actually he holds sreifa is the most severe. Now, you can't give the one who's not supposed to get severe, severe, so you give them all the lighter death penalty of skila. That's the way he said it to his son. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said to his father, said, Abba, don't teach the halacha of our Mishnah this way to Rami. Because if that would be the case, why would Reb Shimon have to say that the reason why they all get skila is because sreifa is the more severe, and you can't give the more severe one? What do you mean? Tepik lay, the way you're saying it, the Ruben is gone ninu. It should be, of course they're going to get skila, because the way you're describing the case is that the majority are the ones who are supposed to get skila. So why would you say that the reason is that, oh, because you can't make someone who's a more lighter death penalty get a more severe death penalty, even without it, they're all going to get skila because you go after the majority. So therefore, don't say it like that. So his father responded to him, he says, okay, Elohechas Naisa, how should I teach the halacha of our Mishnah? So Rabbi Yehuda, his son, said to him, as we have the gears in our Mishnah, Haniskalin bin Nisrafin. It's where, even though the majority are those of Sreifa, even so, Reb Shimon, I mean, you don't have skila, still Reb Shimon says, we're not going to go after the majority, we're going to go and give them all skila. Why? Because although we usually go after the Reiv, but Shastreva Chamur, but Sreva is more severe. And again, you can't take someone who's supposed to get a lighter death penalty and give them more severe, so we're going to give them all the lighter death penalty. Now, then his father asked him, but if that's the case, then name a Seifa. Look at, that's Reb Shimon. Look at the Seifa where the Chacham disagree. The Chacham, I mean, they say, no, you don't need a Sreifa. No, you give them all Sreifa. Why? Because they all Shaskila Chamur. That actually Skila is the most severe, so you have to give them all the lighter one, which is Sreifa. On that, asked his father, Rabbi Yehuda, well, then your question is the same thing here in the reverse now here. Tabiklay, but the Chacham should be enough. The Ruben is rough, and then why the Chacham is saying that the reason why they get Sreifa because that's the lighter one, But the case you're describing, as we have the Girsa in our Mishnah, where the majority are anyways in the Nisrafin, let them say that it's going to be straight for anyway because of the majority, not because of the lighter one. So that Rabbi Yehuda responded to his father. He says, no, Hasim over there, where the Rabbanan conclude their statement by saying that Shaskila Chamur, because the skill is the more severe, that's not coming to explain their own opinion. Rather, they're saying to they're responding. Rabbanu Hu Dekamri Leila Reb Shimon, it's Rabbanan responding to Reb Shimon, and they're saying that the judgment of them all should be with Sreifa, like their own halacha, which is, yes, because they held, and you don't need anything more, because the majority. But this that you said, that you should go after the minority, which is what Reb Shimon said, why? Because Lididach Da'amrit Sreifa Chamur, because you say that Sreifa is more severe, and therefore you say, oh, we can't pull the one who's supposed to get the lighter death penalty to the more severe one. And that's what the Rabban responding, lie, no, it's not more severe, rather it's the lighter one, and Skila Chamur and Skila is the more severe. But you're right. The Rabban would not say because of Skila Chamur and Sreifa is the more kal, that's why they get Sreifa. No, you're right. The way I'm describing the case, which is how our Mishnah has it, the Chacham don't need to even say that. The reason why they get Sreifa is because they're the majority. But they're saying that even according to you, the reason why you say don't go after the majority is because you can't make it more severe. It's not more severe. It's actually the lighter one. The Sreifa is the more lighter one. So let's just keep it at the majority, not like Reb Shimon. But that was to dispute Reb Shimon, not to explain their own opinion. Now, the Gemara concludes, Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinin, the sharp one. As we find many times in Shas, Shmuel called Rabbi Yehuda the sharp one. As you continue to have a Pe'alef Men Aleph, Loi Temer Leila Avuchachi. Don't talk like this to your father to let him know explicitly that he made a mistake. Because it's embarrassing and it's painful. The time like learning the Braisa. Hari Shahaya of Ayivir al Divri Torah. Someone's father was violating the words of the Torah. Lo Yemalai, the son should not tell his father, Abba, father, Avalta al Divri Torah, you violated the words of the Torah. And Lo Yemalai rather tells him, Abba, Tati, Kach Kosta Batara, this is how it says in the Torah. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that it should be read in a word of wonderment. Like, this is what it says in the Torah? Now that has the Gemara, well, save, high nahak. Well, at the end of the day, it's the same thing. It's still embarrassing. And he's still insinuating, which is body language and inflection of tone is maybe even more powerful than the words that you use. And it's still saying the same thing. Well, you think you're doing good? Is this what it says in the Torah? So how does that help? Ella, rather, the Gemara says, no, it should be read in a calm statement. Oymer loy, he tells him that this pasuk that it says in the Torah, and he tells him, Abba, Father, Mikra Kasaba Torah Kahu, this is the pasuk that says in the Torah. And let the father realize on his own what he should recall, but you don't tell him straight out. And here also, it's not appropriate to tell your father that don't say it like this, but say it like that, although you were right, but that's not the way a child speaks to his father.